Ed, good afternoon and welcome to Sound Living. I'm Ed Bremmer. Welcome to our program, and I want to welcome our guest this afternoon, Snohomish County Executive Aaron Reardon. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
We're inviting you to call in and talk with us this afternoon, and in addition to questions you might have, we might ask you to put a question to our guest, the county executive, you think he should have as his priorities during this second half of his second term. We'll see if we can get some priorities for you this afternoon.
That'd be very nice.
And again, thank you for giving up your holiday. I know this is an official holiday, and a lot of people are taking the day off, so we invite you to join us. The phone number 425-303-9070 if you'd like to talk with Aaron Reardon. Let me ask you here at the outset here, what flashes through your mind when you pick up the paper, as we did this past week, and you see a headline, 9 years, 98,000 additions. The gist of the article that in the last 9 years, Snohomish County added almost 100,000 people to it. And I know that you're very aware of growth management. I know you're aware of the issues of transportation. But when you pick up the newspaper, and what flashes through your mind when you see that the county has added the equivalent of Everett in the last 9 years? Mm-hmm. Well, what just flashes through your mind? What's the first thought that you think of when you see a headline?
There are several. One, you know, we are one of the fastest growing counties in the state and have been. You'd like to see, with those new residents coming into Snohomish County, more jobs. In the last few years, we've led the state in job creation, three times the statewide average, four times the national average. Of course, the recession, the Great Recession, as they're now calling it, has had a tremendous impact on our local economy. The first thing that goes through my mind is, you know, how are we going to continue to create jobs after we get through this recession, so people in the county have the opportunity to live and work in the same community?
What kind of jobs? You mentioned that, you know, the fastest growing county, mm-hmm. the most jobs. What kind of jobs? Are they burger flipping jobs?
No, not at all. They're the kind of jobs we've created the last 5 years. They're the jobs that pay a family wage, allow you to put your child through college, that have health care benefits, you know, a job that you can retire on. The jobs that we've created, such as aerospace jobs, new technology jobs, biotechnology jobs. A lot of people don't know that we in Snohomish County actually lead the state in biotechnology job creation. 24% of the state's entire biotechnology sector is located right here in the county. In the last 4 years, we created almost 50,000 brand new aerospace jobs. And so, again, these are jobs that pay truly a living wage, not a slogan, but a real living wage. Those are the kind of jobs we need to continue to create, and we need to hold on to the jobs that are here.
And are these jobs in Snohomish County, so that the people who get these jobs live and work and spend their money in Snohomish County rather than driving to King County? Is what 17,000 people a day drive south to King County for their jobs?
Yeah, no, these are the jobs. These are exactly those kind of jobs. And the important thing about job creation is when we grew the past couple of years, we grew in every sector. So we grew in the higher income job creation, and we grew also in the ancillary support jobs, the retail jobs, and the service sector jobs that, you know, when you're making money, you can afford to go out to eat, you can afford to buy new clothes, new home furnishings, those types of things. The retail jobs, the service sector jobs, those should be a product of other job creation. Focusing only on the retail aspect is just simply not going to work.
We're talking with Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive, here this afternoon on Sound Living. You're welcome to join the conversation at 425-303-9070. With those jobs that you create, though, comes a lot of people who move into the area looking for those jobs. A lot of people who move into the area anticipating getting a job and can't find one, and they become burdens on county services, city services, and things of that nature. And you just went through a very rancorous budget session here for 2009, and I suspect that you're anticipating that as well. County services are being cut. Can you find a balance between creating jobs and dealing with the people who come into the county looking for jobs and can't find them and end up on county services.
Yeah, well, there's a natural progression to how these things work. In a normal time, let's take the Great Recession here and the financial collapse and the impacts of the federal economy out of the equation for just one moment. We have seen tremendous population growth in this county, even prior to the last 5 years when we were the hotbed of economic growth. And the reason why we saw that population growth was because this was one of the most affordable communities in the Puget Sound region in which to buy a new home, in which to start your home acquisition, your family planning. That in and of itself, without a job base, is what places the financial burden on governments of any kind, state or local, county and city. To accommodate the population growth, you need to have economic development. You have to have job growth. You have to create a climate, or a climate of opportunity, where people who buy into your community because of lower cost housing, affordable housing, have an opportunity to live in that community, as opposed to getting on I-5 or jumping over to 405 every single day and spending an hour and a half in their cars to and from their occupation. The last 5 years, we got it right. We invested with the Boeing company. We made certain that we expanded our aerospace economy, and we harnessed the energy and the creativity out of that growing aerospace economy into other sectors of Snohomish County's economy. It's important to note, you know, the aerospace economy is the backbone of our economy, period. Without that, we would not have the tech sector, we would not have the biotech sector, the professional services sector, or retail sector. It is what has allowed us to diversify. The challenge we're facing today, all of us in the global sense, not just Snohomish County, is that we've had an utter meltdown in the financial markets. And that really is the crux of it. And it's all based upon the acquisitions of home, the lending of credit. And that this national Great Recession, as they're calling it, has hit every single corner of this country. And how we're dealing with it in Snohomish County is to try to, one, preserve the jobs that we have, namely the Boeing Company. I'm focusing almost 100% of my efforts, when it's not just managing the basic tenets of county government, to making sure that the Boeing Company keeps its 787 line here in Snohomish County, and that the workers in my community have the opportunity to stay here, and that new airplanes are built here.
That was on my list for a little bit later, but as long as you bring it up, let's talk a little bit more about that. The rumor that is circulating is that the second line, if there is a second line for the 787, may be in South Carolina. Boeing is facing tremendous pressure to get that first airplane in the air. But as you say, they are an 800-pound economic gorilla in Snohomish County, in the state of Washington. How do you walk the fine line, particularly you, who have in the past been endorsed by labor unions, mm-hmm. between dealing with an 800-pound gorilla that carries a very big stick in terms of economic pressure that it can wield, between keeping them in the state when they are talking about wanting to go to a state that is more business-friendly, read that anti-worker, anti-union. How do you balance between keeping them here and not, let's use the word blackmail, that if you don't give us everything we want, we'll just pick up our marbles and move to South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. In my 12 years in public life, two terms in the House, the Senate, and county exec, I can honestly say I've never felt that the Boeing Company's ever blackmailed me as an elected official or the community. They're a major employer. Over 75,000 jobs in this community are directly tied to the Boeing Company, and those jobs pay an average of $75,000. The fine line that I walk really isn't so fine. My interest is keeping jobs here. I want the machinists who build the best airplanes in the world to do that trade here in Snohomish County. I want their jobs to stay here. I'm fighting for the machinist every second of every day when I'm advocating to keep that second line. I'm doing it because I want to keep those jobs here. I'm not doing it because I just want to see, you know, the Boeing Company's headquarters, you know, back in Seattle and the manufacturing plant staying ever. I'm doing it because I want to keep those jobs here.
But, of course, Boeing is saying that every chance they get, they bring up the strike. The most recent strike mm-hmm. of Boeing, as one of the reasons why they need to go to a state that is a little bit more conducive to the business and not the worker.
Yeah. Well, I think if you go back and look at history, as I have, when the first remarks by members of the Boeing company were made about the state of Washington being more competitive, you know, you have to go all the way back to Bill Boeing. And at that point in time, I wasn't even a twinkle in my mother's eye. And Bill Boeing said, I don't even know the date, but it was several decades ago, that if the state of Washington was not more conducive to his business, then he was going to move his business to Southern California. And that's how the King County Airport was built. That's how Boeing Field was built. Boeing has always been at the forefront of pressing for important issues that they see as relevant to their company's growth. Schrantz was an outspoken leader of K-12 education, pressed the state for education reform back in the early 90s. Clearly, Mr. Mullally and others pushed the state for competitiveness improvements in the early part of this decade. In the last couple of years, the relationship between the machinist and the company has deteriorated. And that's been very disheartening for many of us who are supportive of the Boeing company and who are closely tied to the machinist. So let's talk about that for a second. First of all, there's no doubt in my mind that relationship has to get better. That's a marriage. And unfortunately, the way I see it, they're headed for divorce, and this is not a no-fault state. If the Boeing company decides to move its facilities for the second line of the 787 to South Carolina, then the people in my community who have for generations built the best airplanes in the world won't have that same opportunity going forward, and our entire economy will suffer. So I do think we need to do everything we can as public officials to make sure that the company and the union can sit down and have a thoughtful conversation about how they go forward. And there needs to be some assurances. You know, I will be the first to tell you, the Boeing company needs to commit to building that second line here in Everett. And the machinist need to understand that, you know, the right to strike is exactly that. It's a right. It's one I strongly support. But a company has to have predictability. They've got to be able to give their customers, you know, reliable answers to questions and delivery dates. And they need to work together to define, you know, what those reliable delivery dates are, and how they, as a mutual group, machinist and the company, define reliability. And maybe that comes in the form of a contract extension. You know, maybe the company and the machinist should sit down and talk about the future, and you know, give us as a community and the workers of this plant the assurance that they're going to continue to build that plane here, and the second line will be built here. And maybe we can talk about having an extended contract, so we're not looking at a strike again in 4 years.
We're talking with Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive, on Sound Living. You're welcome to join us at 425-303-9070. We're going to take a break and we'll come back, but I want to remind people that you mentioned Bill Boeing and his threat to take the company to Los Angeles, but it was also Bill Boeing that when World War One ended, he turned his manufacturing away from airplane into furniture so he could keep those skilled tradesmen here in. Mm-hmm. So there is a history of the company having a concern for keeping the skilled workmen in place for the jobs when they do come back.
So. Absolutely. And I think that the very nature that they've shifted headquarters to Chicago, and we can talk about this when we come back from the break, and that they have a new CEO who really is a corporate CEO, not an airplane guy, has something to do with some of the challenges we're facing today.
We're talking with Aaron Reardon. We're talking on Sound Living. You're welcome to join us at 425-303-9070. And I'll be back with my guest after this quick look at afternoon traffic on KSER Sound Living.
It's 3:20 in the afternoon, 84 degrees in downtown Everett, and you are tuned to 90.7 FM KSER. Quick look out at the traffic on the freeways. It's only one incident to report. Interstate 405 southbound at Northeast 116th in Kirkland. There is a blocking incident blocking the right lane. Bellevue to Everett is 45 minutes. Seattle to Everett is 50 minutes. We'll be right back.
And we are back on Sound Living with my guest Aaron Reardon here on 90.7 FM KSER. You're welcome to join the conversation. Our phone number 425-303-9070. And what we're looking for you, in addition to questions, is suggestions for the county executive as he moves into the second half of his second term. We're talking this afternoon with Aaron Reardon, and you're invited to join us. And I need to have you tell a story, because I remember... And I want to say this was, I think for, it was in the papers for your, when you were just elected or you were campaigning for the role of chief executive. So that would have been, what, eight or nine years ago?
Oh, it would have been six years ago.
Okay, six or seven years ago.
So
story about when you were 10 years old and you took on President Reagan and ketchup as a food.
Oh,
and
I think you're referring to the story that was done by Jennifer Langston of the PI. And she had asked me what was my... Why was I interested in politics? And I was 10 years old. I was in fifth grade, and my mother. I was raised by a single mother, and she drilled education into me. We didn't have a lot of money at all, but every night we'd sit down at the table, and we would read the paper together, and I was required to tell her what I was reading about in the paper, and so of course in fifth grade. We had a project called Current Events, and your requirement was every couple of days a student was required to come into the classroom and give an oral report on something they've read that was interesting to them. And, of course, I read the paper every night with my mom anyway, and mine was that in 1981, President Reagan, in an attempt to, I think, get ahead of the nation's fiscal challenges, decided to... classify ketchup as a vegetable because it had the same nutritional content, and therefore you could use that ketchup as a substitute for vegetables in subsidized lunches, school lunches, and that bothered me. And it was not, of course, I talked about it in school. But my mother encouraged me to contact Congressman Al Swift, and I wrote Congressman Swift a letter. Congressman Swift responded. I had dialogue with the congressman, and I actually had dialogue with Liz McLaughlin, who was his aide at that time. And he took up the cause as a member of Congress and opposed President Reagan. Now, I'm sure that there are many reasons why that issue did not pass.
But it wasn't just your letter.
It was not just my well-written letter, yes.
When I was 10 years old, I was still struggling over letters to Santa Claus.
But it stuck in my mind. It stuck in my mind that a United States congressman returned my phone calls and encouraged me to participate in the process. And at that age, I thought that is exactly what I wanted to do, to have that kind of impact and to be that connected with the decisions that affect people's daily lives.
We're talking with Snohomish County Executive Aaron Reardon, and we have a caller on the line. So we're going to take a break here, and we're going to talk with Cameron, who's calling from Mukilteo. Cameron, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I want to thank Mr. Reardon for coming in.
Thank you, Cameron.
You've been talking a lot about jobs, and speaking of that, your own workforce. I know there have been a pretty well-publicized set of layoffs that happened with the county, and I know there's been some backfilling and so forth. I wonder if you could sketch out for us what exactly services have been lost from the county, and also, if you can, extrapolate into the future, what's on tap for 2010 for Snohomish County Services?
That's great. Thank you, and thank you for the question. It's a very appropriate question, given the fact that we are going to walk into 2010 facing a financial crisis that is still hanging over from 2009, and there does not seem to be an end in sight, or an improvement, rather, in sight. Snohomish County, to balance its budget in 2009, went through and eliminated around 240 full-time equivalent positions. Not all of those positions had human beings in them, but many did. And so we had a very serious round of layoffs to balance the budget.
And how many employees do you employ with Snohomish County?
We employ just under 3,000.
And how many actual jobs were lost?
Actual jobs are on the upper end of 40.
Okay, and these jobs are in which departments?
Human beings. Let me rephrase that.
Human beings. Okay. And these human beings were in which departments?
They were all over Snohomish County government, in every department. It was about an average 9% cut across the board. In 2009, of course, that budget was passed at the end of 2008 and goes into effect the first of the calendar year. The first quarter of 2009, of course, we've seen the economy continue to drag across the bottom.
Wasn't there just something in the paper that 24 more jobs, housing inspector jobs, were lost?
Well, those are different. Those are categorized as enterprise funds. I don't want to get into the nuances of talking about how different funds are appropriated. But the long and the short of it is that jobs that are supported by tax revenue are the ones that I'm referencing, the 9%. We do have services that the county provides that are fee-for-service, such as building inspectors, permit processors, those type of occupations. Again, they're funded by a very specific client base, the building industry. And so as those industries decline, so too does the amount of money coming into the county, and those are positions tied directly to that funding. But they're not tied, the positions that I'm referencing right now for the purposes of Cameron's question are not tied to the anything other than tax revenue. The 2010 year, as we're looking outwards, and I guess to touch on 2009, Cameron, the money continues to fall short. We asked the county council and other elected officials to we introduced and asked for support on a supplemental budget. We haven't done that in many, many years. This year, which even cut further from the budget, the first quarter of 2009. That was about a $6.5 million decline in revenue. What that resulted into was the disruption of service that through the process of a furlough. Working with the largest unions in Snohomish County, we came to an agreement that we would have our employees do 7 days of furlough, and then on Fridays do 1 hour less in work. So you have a reduced work week or reduced work hour, and you have a furlough in place to date. And that's the disruption in services that we're seeing. You know, looking in the out years, I wish I had a crystal ball. I don't. The challenge we face is this economy is just not getting any better. In many cases, it's getting worse. We have higher jobless numbers each and every time Employment Security and Department of Labor come back with their estimates. Those higher jobless numbers, those higher unemployment numbers mean that fewer and fewer people are buying products. That is sales tax revenue. We are a revenue-based government. We deliver services because people pay taxes. And because people aren't working and they don't have a discretionary income in place, there's no taxes that are being collected. Very few taxes are being collected. You know, millions and millions less than previous years. I anticipate that if we do not do a furlough with our largest unions again going into 2010, then we will be facing additional layoffs. We're not alone in this. All 50 states and every government in every state is facing the same exact situation. And we just have to be able to pull together our resources as best we can and make the best decisions going forward with the limited amount of money that we have.
Cameron, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you, Mr. Reardon.
Thank you, Cameron. I hope that answers your questions.
That's helpful. Thank you.
We're talking with Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive. You're welcome to join us at 425-303-9070. Let's, for a brief period of time, revisit the 2009 budget discussions and have the rifts between you and the county council been healed. There were some pretty sharp words that were exchanged between you and Mike Cooper and Commissioner Sullivan. Have those rifts been healed sufficient enough to where you're looking for a little bit more positive approach towards 2010?
No, not at all. I like Mike and Brian way too much to ever agree with them. Mike Cooper and Brian Sullivan and I worked together in the state legislature for...
You were roommates with Mike Cooper.
Yeah, I rented a room from him. He rented a house, and I rented a room from him. Brian came in 2001, I think, 3 years into my service in the House. And we're very good friends. When you're good friends with people and you know them very, very well, you can be very candid when you disagree with them and not hurt their feelings and not jeopardize your friendship. But you can be honest. You don't have to be political. For good or bad, that's the way the three of us operate with one another. You know, we're still friends. I didn't agree with the approach that they took in 2009. Our priorities were different. You know, we've had this conference. There's two issues here. There's the annual budget tantrum throwing, which I've experienced now for 4 years. We're coming up on the fifth annual one, and they're pretty. You know, it hasn't changed. There has not been a there has not been a budget tantrum that has not been thrown since 2006. 2004 and 2005 are the last years, the first 2 years of my term, and they're the only years that there was not a tantrum thrown about the cuts. And I use the word tantrum because it really is indicative to the behavior that my children express when they don't want to go to bed at a certain hour.
And they are how old?
My kids are 3 and 7.
Okay.
So that can give you an idea of what 9 o'clock at night is like in the Reardon household. There's two issues. The first one, with respect to me, Mike, and Brian, who are, you know, they're great guys. They're smart. They're caring. We just had a difference in priorities.
Now, is that difference in priorities going to spill into 2010?
Well, I've tried to communicate with them why I think it's important. Here's the challenge, Ed. We're millions and millions of dollars short. And so my philosophy in government is if you see a problem that you need to fix, if there's something new that's come up and you don't have any additional money, then you have to make a decision. Does the new opportunity or the new problem merit an investment out of your existing resources? Or is everything you're doing just so darn special and so darn important that you just can't do anything else unless you get new money? My philosophy is if you're not going to get new money, which we're not going to, and you see problems that need to be addressed, then you have to make decisions on, you know, is it worth investing in something new at the risk of maybe cutting something that you've been doing in the past. Now, I've been running this government for 6 years. And with all due respect to those who have run governments across the state, I'm the only elected official in an executive position who has balanced a budget every single year without raising taxes. And I'm the only executive who's been able to give my employees a pay raise in every single contract. It's because we manage the money wisely. When I came in 2005, Snohomish County had 4 consecutive years of deficit spending. Their bond rating had been reduced, and they had raised taxes every single year. We eliminated that deficit. We gave a new contract to our employees, and we did it without raising taxes.
So where do you and
well,
Brian...
Let me share this with you, because I think this is important. So my records demonstrated that we can manage the structure, and we can deliver services to people, and we know where to make the cuts. Not everything the county does, not everything the city or the state does, are working. And you have to be able to look at these programs with a critical eye and not defend them if they don't work, but make the adjustments and focus efforts where they do work. Early childhood education needs to be a top priority for Snohomish County. It's getting cut all over the map, and it has a detrimental impact on the kids that are going into school, has a detrimental impact on our prison system. You know, it has the opportunity to be that catalyst in Snohomish County that keeps kids out of the juvenile justice system and helps kids prepare for the K-12 system. And every educator in this county and the state will tell you that K-12, that pre-K, pre-kindergarten, and early childhood learning is the driver.
We'll try to get back to this. We've got a couple callers that we want to
Well,
get to.
Let me touch this. The big priority you asked about is that I fully funded where the debate occurs, and I wanted to invest in K-12 or pre-K, and they didn't. And that was where the real tension existed.
And is that tension going to come back in 2010?
Well, we have fewer resources. I don't know. I think that Mike and Brian have a better understanding now of where we need to go. But that's... You can set your clock to the tantrums that are thrown up by budgets. And, you know, some people judge the oncoming of summer by the 4th of July parades. I base it on, you know, when the budget tantrums start.
We have a couple of callers waiting. Let's take some phone calls. We're talking with Aaron Reardon, county executive for Snohomish. And we've got a caller now. Jim from Everett is waiting on the line and has been waiting patiently. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Hello, Mr. Reardon.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Certainly.
My question, and you may have addressed this at the beginning of your talk. I missed the beginning. One of the things I love about Snohomish County is the great mix we have of urban and rural areas and agricultural and other types of economic activity. What I want to know is I work for Marysville School District, and I see some of the school districts cutting back on some of their voc ed and agricultural programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, what do you see as the best way for us to support our local farmers, to support agriculture in our area, and to support the kinds of entrepreneurial grassroots things like year-round farmers markets that could spring from that kind of activity?
That's a great question. You know, every decade we have seen a decline in our rural lands and our farming occupations. The last couple of years is the first time in two decades, in a generation, that we've seen an increase in farming in Snohomish County. So clearly, you know, the work that we've made the last 6 years through our administration and our ag board and our farmers is making a difference. One of the things that we like to do is we like to get our school districts buying local products. And it's a challenge because, as you well know, the formulary that the school districts use to purchase their foods is complicated and are really, frankly, not conducive to local farms. They're more conducive to large commercial farms, and a lot of those products are purchased from other states. That would be a big help. If we could work with the school district, the state legislature, and others to change the formulary that would allow local districts to buy local products. The second is, you know, finding the space in the real estate that would allow us to put a farmer's market into place year-round and moving that around the county.
Now, we've got this great college building.
Well, we have a lot of places. The infrastructure, you know, the farmers actually need more than people might think. Because you're talking about essentially a road show, and they have to carry their product with them. So you have to have staging areas for their trucks, and you have to have pedestrian access and those types of things. So the infrastructure can be quite burdensome.
Do you have anybody working on that?
Oh, absolutely we do. We have a full-time. When I came in as county executive, we started for the first time an agriculture coordinator. And so we've been working on that issue for the past couple of years. Actually found homes for farmers markets in the past. We've done a whole number of things with farms that have led to the increase in farming in Snohomish County. But we want to reduce that middleman, if I can say that, and allow the farmers to sell their products more directly to the consumers. And that's part of the farmers market issue. The second is, though, is the zoning and the planning. One of the things that we've tried doing, and with some success, is to allow the farmers to create an ancillary market on their property. So you or I can go directly to Stocker Farms and buy the products we want from Mr. Stocker, or drive and talk to Dave Remlinger and buy products directly from Remlinger Farms. That's it's often nice to have farmer markets because that brings about a sense of community. The greater impact is allowing farmers to have those ancillary markets, those ancillary stands on their farms.
Jim, that answer your question?
Very well. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. We're talking with Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive on KSER. Phone number 425-303-9070. And that's a nice transition, a lead-in for a question that was emailed in for me to ask you. And it has to deal with what's the county doing to aid cities who want to participate in the low-impact development. It's all tied in together, mm-hmm. the farmers markets, the environment, global warming, it all ties together. There is the low-impact development building practices. What's the county doing to help cities be part of that?
Well, we're leading the way. A couple of years ago, we were recognized as the state leader in low-impact development. Our ordinance is a model ordinance, and so we stand by and ready and willing to work with any city who wants to adopt the same practices. And I think what cities will find is, and what builders find is, if you can create the same set of standards across jurisdictional boundaries, then there's not a hiccup or a disruption at all in the kind of services that the clientele are looking or expect from their governments.
We're talking with Aaron Reardon on Sound Living. Our phone number 425-303-9070. We're going to take a quick break, take a look at what's might be part of the afternoon commute on this holiday, and then we will be right back. Stay with us.
It's 3:40 in the afternoon, 84 degrees in downtown Everett on a beautiful beginning to your holiday weekend. Looking out at traffic, it's thinning out really pretty quickly. The previous incident at Northeast 116th and Kirkland is cleared. Bellevue to Everett is 40 minutes. Seattle to Everett is 48 minutes. The only slowing on I-5 North is from the Boeing Freeway down the hill to Marine View Drive in downtown Everett. And after that, you break clear pretty well. Stay with us. Coming up at 4 o'clock, BBC News, followed at 4:30 by Left, Right, and Center. 5 o'clock, Democracy Now! And 6 o'clock, Earthbeat Radio and Seeing Green.
And you are listening to 90.7 FM KSER. This is Sound Living. I'm Ed DeBremer. My guest is Snohomish County Executive Aaron Reardon. And our phone number is 425-303-9070 if you would like to join us in our conversation this afternoon. If my math is working right for this afternoon, you're 38, 39 years old?
Correct, 38.
Okay, which means you were 8 years old, or you were born 8 years after President Kennedy was assassinated.
I was 6 years after. I was 1970.
Years, okay. Many of my contemporaries in public service point to John Kennedy as sort of the impetus for them, their inspiration for getting into public service work and politics. You grew up with President Nixon. You grew up with Spiro Agnew, Watergate, mm-hmm. President Ford's Whip Inflation Now, the waning days of the Vietnam War, George Bush. What kind of an impression does that make?
Well, don't forget that as a young child, I sat around with my mother and watched the Watergate hearings, but the Iran-Contra hearings. don't leave that remarkable piece of history out.
Okay, all right. So how is that? What kind of an impression does that make on a child who has, you know, a mother who makes him or who reads the newspaper with him? But I would think that it would tend to make me turn my back and run as far away from public service as possible, lest I become contaminated.
Well, you know, you've hit a topic that is now being written about, and I'll be a subject of a book that's coming out, I think, in October. And that is the generational politics of generations, if you will. I don't know what he's going to title his book. And we could probably talk about this for the next couple of hours. But each generation clearly is influenced by events. We're all creatures of our surrounding and our lives and the events that occurred in our lives. Clearly, I think that, you know, being 38, and if you look across the board, across this country, at other elected officials who are between 35 and 45, you'll see, I think, a group of people who have a very strong social conscience, who are fairly socially liberal, almost to the point of being libertarian, but who are quite fiscally conservative. There is typically, at least, and I'm not trying to speak too general, but I think it's applicable. Typically, there is, I don't argue to defend or condemn government or its programs. I work to make them better, to identify what the need is and allocate resources and coordinate those programs accordingly. So I think, from my perspective, how I like to apply my politics or my practice is that not everything does work. There are sacred cows that just exist and probably shouldn't. They should be put out to pasture. But there are things that we're not doing that we need to. And you know, I talked about early childhood education earlier. That is typically not viewed as a county function. Well, it is a county function. It's a county function, very simple, simply because the state passes its money from the state of Washington to Snohomish County, and we run the early childhood education programs. When the state money dries up, which it has, those children that are Snohomish County residents that receive services by my Snohomish County Human Services staff don't have anywhere to go. And so that's one of my priorities. Now, you will find people in government with whom I work very well and who are very good friends. We just disagree. They don't think we should fund it. I think we should. And I think that's kind of a way to answer your question, Ed, about, you know, the generation that I'm from, what motivates me. Accountability. You know, I've grown up in an era where you can't walk into a room and say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, and get a standing ovation. You have to deliver services. People, if you say you're going to do something, you darn well better do it. The interesting thing about politics is this. You know, I'll tell you this. I served in the House and I served in the Senate, and I was overwhelmingly elected in the 38th district with, you know, 70% margins. As the chief executive officer, you know, out of certain areas of the county, I still receive that. But, you know, there are people who just aren't going to agree with everything I do. Because there's only one position in the entire county where you have to make a decision and let your position be known on every single issue. And that's the county executive.
I want to ask you about that, but we've got a phone call and one waiting. So we're going to take a call talking with Aaron Reardon this afternoon on Sound Living. And we've got Sherman and Lake Stevens standing by. Sherman, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello. You know, transportation is a problem in the whole region, but do you have a 50 or 100-year vision of transportation?
Yeah, we do, Sherman. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for calling in, especially on the 3rd of July. We do, and every single year we submit to the county council for their formal review and approval what's known as our 20-year transportation plan, and it's of course, modified as needed every single year. Ours in Snohomish County is one that ties into the needs of these very significant sprawling communities. You in Lake Stevens, the east side of Highway 9, a lot of folks who maybe don't travel out there don't realize the growth that that you folks out there on the east side in Snohomish County are experiencing. I mean, every place from Cathcart over Highway 9 through Snohomish down to your area, Lake Stevens, to you know, further north to Arlington are experiencing tremendous growth. We need to get, in addition to the roads being built out there, we need to get more community transit and bus rapid transit options down Highway 9 as a means to service the folks in East County.
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
I think Highway 9 should be an uninvited freeway equal to or larger than Interstate 5. Call it an extension of 405. Run it parallel all through the county. You've got a ladder system that works with I-5. But Highway 9 doesn't work and I-5 doesn't work. And the way the freeways crumbled with double-decker freeways in California, they don't do that anymore. We have geographic problems. And I see development creeping into this Highway 9 corridor that is pretty much undeveloped at this point. I mean, it is cheap property and would take care of the county for decades and decades and decades. So it seems to me you wouldn't have to buy all that property at this time, but your growth plan should take care of that, and then you shouldn't allow any more intrusion into that. And every time you do an improvement to Highway 9, it should be with that plan and thought.
I appreciate that. For your information, for others who are at, you know, who are questioning Highway 9 and the development around there, the areas off of Highway 9, you will not see the significant development right off of Highway 9, as you indicated, because those are the farm areas that are outside of our urban growth areas, and those are identified as areas that will not receive intense development like we have in other neighborhoods. Highway 9 itself is a state highway, and so all the funding and improvements that go into Highway 9 to improve its capacity need to come to the state of Washington. When I was in the legislature, we did appropriate funding in 2003 for those Highway 9 improvements. Unfortunately, the State Department of Transportation is a little slower to get their projects moving. But you will, and we will on this area, will see an increase in lane expansions on Highway 9. The challenge that we're going to need to address, and we're going to need some federal assistance, and of course Senator Murray and Congressman Larson have been exceptional in this area, is we're going to have to get additional federal funding to improve the bridges. Because while the state funding went to expand the lanes on Highway 9 and to increase that capacity, we will still hit major bottlenecks on the bridge points in Highway 9. And as you well know, there's several out there.
Well, I just think the whole thing's too short-sighted. I think Highway 9 needs to be an undivided freeway, and I know that's the state thing, but you could give them the property. Your vision for the county and stopping development on whatever side, just figure out how you can turn that into a freeway. Otherwise, what are you going to do with I-5?
No, we are.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, and
I-5 through Everett doesn't work. Today, it's not working. So I think it should be set aside for a freeway, pay for it as you have to. I don't know how that all works, but you wouldn't have to pay for it all at once. And it's undeveloped. But if everybody just keeps messing around with a little addition here, a little addition that, Highway 9, and I see these little sprawling little malls and stuff going on the side and houses getting too close, it's going to be too expensive. Where's the long plan? Forget the 20-year plan. Where's the 50-year plan? If it's even for rail or personal jet packs or what the heck, create a corridor where 9 is that parallels 5 for the future.
All right, Sherman, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
And just FYI,
appreciate your call.
We are building out on Highway 9. The state is in the process of doing that. We are at the table working with the state DOT to both speed the process up but also do it in a way that's conducive to Snohomish County.
He touched on something, and you touched on it earlier, and that's the problem with 5 and 9 could be resolved if there were fewer cars on those roads.
Well, and if you could have a dedicated lane for bus rapid transit. You know, one of the things that we're stressing with, because here's the deal, you're not going to have, you can't build these freeways big enough to take care of all of the cars that are going east and west, north and south. So we need to have wise use of those freeways, build additional capacity where we can, but also we need to have a dedicated lane for high occupancy vehicles such as rapid transit or bus rapid transit, and we're doing that with 9 right now.
And then there has to be an incentive, some sort of a carrot, because the stick isn't going to work, to get people to use it.
Well, I think we got to get it built first.
Right, right. Yeah. We have another caller. We got time for one more call. Jim in Everett is calling us, so we're talking with Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive. Jim, thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. I just want to agree with the last caller about Lake Stevens in that area. We moved from there to Everett about 5 years ago. And one of the main reasons was the trestle. My wife works in the city and could never know how long it would take her to get down to the U District. But on the other side, I want to agree with him about the need for educational money and how money is raised. I think it's a morally corrupt thing to cut back on pre-K and K-12 education. I think that just shows really something wrong in our society. And the main thing I wanted to bring up was talking about sales taxes as being the driving financial basis for the county. Is maybe it's time for county leaders, state leaders, to bite the bullet and start talking about an income tax instead of living on sales taxes.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate your taking time again to talk to us as well. You know, on the transportation issue, I've been dealing with the state DOT as a senator and now as a county executive, county exec now for almost 7 years. And the trestle is an issue that people in this region, I think, would be interested to know that we could have resolved those issues on the trestle almost 15 years ago.
Back when it was being rebuilt?
Back when it was being rebuilt, that's right.
Yeah, we were here then.
We could have done that. Today, it's virtually impossible for the funding to come through the state or even the federal government unless we do a public-private partnership. So the thing we need to do is to get the legislature to reinstate the public-private partnership legislation of 1993. They repealed that a few years ago. That allowed major corridors to work with private sector companies to build these major infrastructure projects and then to finance them in different ways, i.e. maybe a new line on a new lane on tolls, so that we can have the improvements occur quickly and that we can pay for it even quicker. With the second issue, however, you brought up the education, you brought up the sales tax, pardon me. Counties are at the biggest disservice of any government in the state because how we receive our funding is predicated upon the state of Washington's judgment. Cities get a B&O tax, they get a sales tax, they get property tax, and they have multiple opportunities to implement user fees. Counties have property taxes and sales taxes, and that's it. Snohomish County has traditionally raised property taxes to a point where they're simply, as my grandfather would say, the juice just is just not worth the squeeze.
Well, I just got my real estate assessment, and the value of my property has gone down, which means you're bringing in less taxes.
Well, potentially. The issue, we could spend all day on this topic, too. Just because your assessment goes down doesn't mean your tax rate's going to go down. Or your taxes are going to go down.
But I think the point I was trying to make is that the sales tax is that the most regressive way of funding a state.
Well, it is. I think it's very regressive. The challenge with an income tax is it's a constitutional amendment, so it has to be voted on by the people. And the last couple times that's happened, it's failed miserably. And so a lot of the state elected officials are adverse to putting that out there for public opinion. You know, we do not have a fair tax system. I think everyone can recognize that. And what we have to do is make it as diverse as we can. What we've done in Snohomish County is not rely 100% on property taxes or sales taxes, but simply to make certain that the size of the pie increases so the tax rate stays low and the tax revenue comes in. And, you know, as the economy moves along, that works very, very well. We saw the largest percentage of growth in taxes coming into government. without raising taxes in our history the last 5 years.
Yeah, but see, what's part of the problem with that is that there's development out of control almost everywhere.
Well,
if you drive up 99 from, say, Seattle to downtown Everett, it's like the same little mini malls or shopping centers every 10, 15 miles, and it's starting to creep northward. And it seems like there's too much development, in a sense, and not enough attention to quality of life.
Well, our tax, just so you know, the sales taxes that came into Snohomish County were not off of those kind of projects. They were off of the creation of employment centers such as Bayer Pharmaceuticals when they located in unincorporated Snohomish County, Corey Electronics, which is locating out here in unincorporated Snohomish County, Goodrich expanded in the aerospace jobs. So that's how we drew our tax revenue. The big challenge is, we are in a major recession, but you still can't spend money that you don't have. And you have to put some away. You have to plan for a rainy day. And that, unfortunately, has not happened. And it has
Wasn't that part of the state 1% deal, that they have to put aside 1%?
The state just did that. Yeah, the state just did that a couple of years ago. In fact, the voters passed an initiative to make the state do that with 1%. We've been trying to get an initiative, not an initiative, but just an ordinance through the county council for 6 years to establish a rainy day fund. And six months ago, Councilman Sullivan finally put that through.
Jim, thanks for your call this morning, or this afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're talking to Aaron Reardon, Snohomish County Executive, on the program Sound Living. We've got just a couple of minutes left here. But before we go, I just have one question for you, and that, hindsight is always 20/20, and the legislature will be coming back the new year. Do you wish that you or the whole county of Snohomish had worked a little bit differently in the issue of a four-year university for Snohomish County? It seemed like the proponents of the idea all agreed that it was a good idea, but everybody dug their heels in, and the whole thing fell apart because you couldn't decide where to put it. And 2020 hindsight, approach it differently?
I don't think our office would approach it any differently. We've advocated for the last 3 years that a site not be identified. I sat down with the interested parties. We threw this issue on the table. We're the ones that I threw it on the table in 2003 when I was running for county executive. It was a top priority of mine. We brought the local cities in because we knew it had to go somewhere, and we wanted to have community support. The local cities saw it as a vehicle to increase their economic development opportunities, not necessarily to increase the higher education opportunities of an underserved population, which is why we pushed for it in the executive's office. The first piece of legislation that I asked to be introduced did not identify a site. The first piece of legislation that I asked to be introduced simply stated that Washington State would identify Snohomish County as its next site for a college. We had a couple of local mayors who decided they wanted it in their community, and they went to war on it. And that divided our community for the last 3 years, and that is why we don't have a college here today.
And do you see that changing anytime?
Well, I think, it's kind of funny. I asked that bill to be introduced 3 years ago. I had a conversation with the governor about it 3 years ago, and they just introduced it. Mike Sells introduced it and passed it just this last legislative session. So I think we're finally on the right track, but we need to get the egos out of the room and realize that we've got to build a real university. And I'll be very candid. It cannot be, and it must not be, a classroom at a bus stop. It has to be a real university. It needs to focus on the needs of a growing student population.
You've been listening to Sound Living on 90.7 FM KSER. I'm Ed Bremmer. My guest has been Snohomish County Executive Aaron Reardon.